Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Third Great Awakening. Do you know that the former governor of Florida, Jeb Bush, is talking about a third great awakening? He's being interviewed here. As a matter of fact, take a look at this.
I have to say, when I talk to pastors all across the country, or at least in evangelical world, they talk about that this country needs a spiritual awakening, is what they call it. Do you believe something like that?
I do. In fact, I've read about it because it's of concern. I don't think that we can impose a spiritual awakening from, you know, Washington, D.C. by passing a law. I don't think that's going to happen. But we have the crumbling of our moral foundation in our country that is quite disturbing. And if you read our history, there have been times where there have been awakening, the Great Awakening in the 19th century, where this massive move westward created real dislocation in family life. Communities were kind of torn asunder. There was a lot of drunkenness and infidelity. And whatever happened, there was a spark by Presbyterian ministers in western New York that created a wildfire that truly created an awakening that brought us the abolition movement, the suffrage movement, the women's suffrage movement, the prohibition of alcohol. All of that started in the 1820s and 30s, and it was clearly not a government deal. It was a spiritual awakening. I don't know what the catalyst of that is, but I think for our country and for the future of our children and grandchildren, it'd be worth having.
That is such a key answer to America. And it's not a political answer. It's going to be a third great awakening. You think about revivals are one thing, and they're awesome. But a great awakening, if you look at how you define them in history, you can define them almost like the DNA, the structure of a society, the structure of how you do things and why you do things totally is transformed. And when you think about the great awakenings that took place in America, it changed America. And you listen to all the things that former Governor Jeb Bush talked about. It's like, it's so exciting to hear, you know, that take place. There are people having a desire for it because that is the answer. But the question is, you know, what's it going to take for that to transpire? What did they do during those times when the third great awakening or second great awakening, first great awakening took place? Well, there was a time of desperation. There was a time of people. The times were so hard that you had to cry out to God, and God began to answer. And I think about this. I think about just recently when you think about worship. You know, worship is so important because the God that we are wanting, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whose son is Jesus Christ, to pour out a third great awakening on America, it's going to be in response to our focus on Him and our worship on Him. They say that 80%, George Barna did a study on the traditional church today of regular church attenders, and they said almost like 80% or right around there believe that worship is about them and not about the Lord. And when we begin to focus on God, God will respond. He'll respond to us. As a matter of fact, I want you to hear right here as he's talking about worship. Watch this.
Just jumping in, if I had to come up with a definition of what worship is, it's gotten pretty simple for me. And it would basically boil down to this. I think worship is any act, it's any thought, it's any deed that's done is unto the Lord that brings pleasure to His heart. Yeah. And I just want to emphasize that because this is really about bringing Him pleasure. Like it's about, it is unto Him. It's for Him. You know, as I've done relationships in life, I realized more and more that if you want to impact a person deeply, you actually have to know them. You have to know them deeply. And we were just at this birthday party. And it was a super sweet affair, and the guy hosting the party said, "Hey, would you mind giving toast?" And there's a bunch of people. Have you ever guys had to give a toast before? Anybody? It's my favorite thing in the world. So if you know me, just ask. I'm kidding. I'm totally sarcastic. So toast. I don't love giving toast. But what was interesting is I just sat, and everyone had something beautiful to say about the individual who we were celebrating her birthday. But what I noticed is that the people who were able to have the most impact were the people that knew her the best, that had the most intimacy with her. And I think the same is honestly true for God, is it not?
So good.
If you want to impact God deeply, you actually have to know Him deeply. Because God's not moved by a bunch of religious activity for the sake of religious activity. You know? He's not. It's like, it's not like his thing is raising hands. He's like, I just love to see a group of people just raise their hands. That's my thing. I get a kick out of it. Do it again. Oh, there it is. I love it. That's not how he works. He doesn't just like activity. Yeah? So there's this beautiful little passage in the book of Amos. It's actually kind of a scary passage. but it's what the window we get into the heart of God and into worship is just profound. You know, and so I'll just set the stage. You have the Israelites, you have the people of God, and they're doing all the things that God asked them to do. They're offering the burnt offerings, and I don't know how many offerings, the peace offerings, and they're having the solemn assemblies, and they're doing all the stuff, right? And this was God's response to them. He says, I hate your show and pretense. He's like, I don't like all your festivals. Knock it off. Stop doing it. I don't like it. He's like, I don't like your songs. It's like, I don't want to listen to your music. Your music is bothering me right now. It's not actually what I want. It's not actually what I was looking for. Instead, he says, let there be a mighty river of justice that flows. Yeah. And an unending flow of righteous living or something to that effect. But I think it just showcases so clearly that we can do a lot of stuff in worship, right? We can do all this stuff. But at the end of the day, if it's not something that's bringing pleasure to the heart of God, we're missing it.
Think about this. This is so important. You think, what does a third great awakening in the true worship of God, which is the justice of God coming down upon a nation, things getting back in their order again? I mean, think about it. Today, what are we doing with worship? And if what we were doing was working, think about this. If what we were doing was working, would we be at this present state that we're in today? Would things be happening the way they're happening today? Would God be being pushed out of society, out of school, removed off of all these different aspects of it? Would Christians being, basically sued out of business because they took a stand? I mean, would that really be going on? Or are we doing the very same thing Israel was doing during those days? Are we doing the very same thing? Is God, and we get back, we want to talk about this because this is so important because we want to be able to give God what he wants. And let me tell you something. God is in the justice.
That was so powerful. That was Riddle from
Jeremy Riddle.
Jeremy Riddle from Bethel, and it's just such a profound statement. And it's really hard for somebody who's really gifted at something like painting, for somebody to hear the words like, "I don't like your paintings."
Yeah,
because sometimes people think just because I can do it, you know, I should do it. Like for example, yeah. Somebody says, you know, they're really good at building something, and they think, "You know, I'm going to start a business because I'm good at." Building it, therefore I'll open a business and people want my products. It's like, not necessarily does that work that way,
no,
right?
No.
And just because, you know, we're playing music doesn't necessarily mean that it's pleasing to God. Just mm-hmm. because we're talking about the word of God and talking about the Greek meaning, you know.
That's so important. Yeah. How many? I mean, we see that everywhere that, you know, just pick it up guitar and start singing, and obviously we're singing to him, so he's gotta love it. But it's more than just the words and the instrumental, the composure of the song, but it's the heart behind the song. It's the life behind the song.
Right. And when, you know, we think about how many people think about worship, they think, well, you got to have a guitar.
Have to.
You got to have a keyboard.
Yeah.
You know, I need to have some sort of, you know, financial transaction has to take place. And
in order for me to string that guitar.
Yeah, string the guitar, right. Oh, that too.
Yeah.
Like Steve Hill used to talk about, they wanted a salary package. We're not talking lettuce, folks. And so, but the thing about it is, but worship truly, and I love what he was talking about, Riddles. He says, you know, worship is any deed as unto the Lord that brings pleasure to God, that brings pleasure to him. And so many people have worshiped God their entire life, but somebody who has this ego mentality about their gift or their maybe it's musical, maybe it's teaching or whatever mm-hmm. it is, or money, but they almost cause people to feel like, you know, your worship, your sacrifice to God was not as big as my sacrifice because I can sing.
Sure.
And the truth is, you know, he may have fathered his family. He may have, been a good husband to his wife and done his whole life. That the whole life was an act of worship to God. Yeah. He might not have been able to sing at all, or she might not have been able to sing at all. But it's kind of like we just compartmentalize, you know, what worship is today. And I can just, you know, I struggle with this. You think about what, you know, a third great awakening, what is it going to take? A third great awakening, we have to first begin to think about who are we worshiping?
Hmm.
Who are we worshiping? It's higher than 80. I think it's 81, but I can't tell you exactly. I know it's at least 80. But 80% plus have been surveyed of people who attend church regularly, John, like every other week, every two weeks at least. They really believe that worship is about them. The song is about what makes them feel good. It has nothing to do with worshiping God. So the music, you know, that's why you hear people say, you got to have the right worship leader. What for who? To worship the people or to worship
God? Exactly.
I mean, you think about that because worship is the worship of God. It's not the worship of man. It's not the worship of you. It's we're being grateful to God, and it's not necessarily always a song. And it makes me think about the voice. It's called the voice Bible, and you read about the scripture of Amos chapter 5, which Riddle was talking about. Amos chapter 5, verse 21 to 24, and he talks about the eternal one. God is talking. This is what the word says. He says, I hate and I totally reject your religious ceremonies, and I have nothing to do with your solemn gatherings. God, we just started a building program.
Exactly.
Know. Come on, hang
for you. We're welcoming you.
We're building this for you. Nothing is buildings, but we're talking about what the Word of God says. And then he says, you can offer me the whole burnt offerings and grain offerings, but I will not even accept them. No matter what you bring to me, I won't even accept it. Your sacrifices of your finest, fattest young animals as a, you know, your whatever, your peace offerings, he says, I won't even look up. God won't even, there comes a time. And normally you can tell, though, by what's being produced out of your worship.
What's the fruit?
What's the fruit of what you're doing? At some point, and I really believe this young generation said exactly what the worship leader at the International House of Prayer wrote a book on it.
Mm.
She said, what's the point? At some point, it has to have a point to it.
Yeah.
And God's saying here, what's the point? I forget the singer.
Misty Edwards.
Misty Edwards. She wrote a book called What's the Point? And God is saying that here in Amos chapter 5, verse 21. And he says, and stop making that music for me. It's just noise.
Mm.
He says, I will not listen to your melodies you play on the harp. Here's what I want. Let justice thunder down like a waterfall. Let righteousness flow like a mighty river that never runs dry. I mean, that is so different than things that we're hearing. And out of the Message Bible says it this way. This is Amos chapter 5, 21 to 24. It says, I can't stand your religious meetings. I'm fed up with your conferences and your conventions. I want nothing to do with your religious projects, your pretentious slogans and goals. I'm sick of your fundraising schemes, your public relations and image making. I've had it. I can't take any of your noisy ego music.
Mm.
You think about it, if 80% think that it's about that's ego music, music about me. When was the last time you sang to me, God saying?
Not about me.
Saying to me. To good, right. Do you even know what I even want? It says, I want justice. An ocean of it. I want fairness. A river of it. That's what I want. That's all I want.
Hmm.
You know, and I'm thinking, man, we can do this.
Yeah.
We just got to start caring about people.
That's it. You know, when we stand before God, the only thing that we will have to offer him is a life of worship. It's like, what, you know, are we going to have anything to bring him? And I love that. It's the words that we say. It's the things that we think about. And it's the actions that we take that bring God pleasure, that bring him glory, that raise God up in our hearts and in our minds.
But two, he's saying, what are you doing about the brother who just got treated terribly, unjustly in your community? What are you doing about the man who is suffering unjustly in your community who you're not even blinking at? What are you doing about the person who is living in poverty and there's nothing established to be able to help him or her out of that poverty?
Pure religion, right.
And, you know, what are we doing about the injustices? Because this is what I want. I want justice, and I want an ocean of it. I want it to flow down like a waterfall, the thundering waterfall. And I think about Dr. King. Dr. King said, you know, let justice come down like a mighty river. Let your righteousness like a mighty flood. And he's talking about, this is what he's talking about. It's like, God doesn't want to, we like the songs.
Mm.
But believe me, God would prefer obedience over that. He would prefer us loving each other over that. I mean, you think about this, John. We see people that have suffered great injustices, Yes. And then you look at a society who doesn't even blink. They don't even spill their cappuccino over the whole thing. Mm-hmm. They don't, you know, when a nun comes over here, Sister Diana from Iraq, and tells us in front of Congress, she says, I've been to America. I lived in America for like 6 years, and I haven't been here in a while. But one thing I noticed about America is that America treats their pets so well. They treat their pets so well. But they don't even help Christians. And it's like that is a church, that's a people who profess to be followers of God who begin to say, you know what, we like our music, we like our gatherings, turn the music up as they did when the trains were going by with Jews going to the concentration camps. That's what was said, you know, sing loud, sing a little bit louder. And it's like, and this is very encouraging to me, because I'm sort of like Misty Edwards going, what's the point? You know, at some point we're going to have to do something. Right. And even the International House of Prayer in Kansas City, they prayed and prayed and prayed, but finally they realized, wait a minute, we're going to do half prayer and half acts of justice.
Yeah.
We're going to need to do something here. And God is into justice. And I just can't help but feel, you know, and we'll talk about it in a future program, hopefully real soon, that I just sense, you know, justice is coming.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, John, you were at the Niagara Falls.
Yes.
How loud is it when a waterfall is coming down? How loud is that thundering sound?
It is so loud. It's actually deafening. You know, you go to the Niagara Falls and you stand as close as you can. They have ways you have a fence guarding it. And what's so stunning about the whole thing is that people are standing there for hours, just mesmerized by this nonstop power and force of unending water that's violently coming down.
It just takes over, doesn't it?
Oh, it takes over the entire atmosphere.
Yeah, right.
And it's just amazing to see, to experience, to hear, and to feel the midst, just that the water's literally
touching
you. And you
got to hold on. If you get up under that thing, you're going to have to hold on.
Oh, my goodness.
You can survive it, but you got to hold on, because it's going to pound everything off of you. If you're dirty when you walk into that.
Oh, you're going to be clean.
You're going to be clean. You're probably going to be clean.
Sparkling.
Sparkling clean. And so he's talking about like a waterfall. So it's not like this trickling therapeutic trickle that he's talking about. He's talking a trickle of water. He's talking about this thundering waterfall. And I just can't help but feel, and I think a lot of people are going to misunderstand what's taking place. They're thinking like, it's all over. Oh my goodness. No, what's over is the useless songs and the meaningless messages and all the schemes of men. That's what's over. But what comes out of that is a purified church, a true church, like Ann Graham Lotz was talking about, that these things purify the church and bring us to a better place that we need to be. But, you know, the third great awakening, what will touch the heart of God? Well, justice will. Justice, when you think about this, and we'll be talking about this, when you think about this, that Germany does not even have the death penalty.
Mm.
They don't have the death penalty. And one particular man was talking to someone in Germany about that, and he says, you know, why don't you have it? They said, think about it. Us of all people with our history, how could we have the death penalty? Who are we to be able to put a man to death? And what happens if, in fact, that if we do have the death penalty, and disproportionately we start having more Jews going, being put to death for crimes? I mean, that's going to look terrible. We don't have that place to do that. And then you think about Germany, you go, yeah, that's right. They should not have the death penalty. That's a just thing to do, because they've done, their history says no. But American history, disproportionately right now, this very moment, when you look at who goes to jail, who stays in jail, and who gets the death penalty, is predominantly African American. That's unjust. That's an unjust thing. And who are we as a nation if this is what happened in our history to what our forefathers and those in this country has done to historical African Americans in our society? Shouldn't we as Christians think about, listen, this country in our history, we shouldn't even be in that conversation. Mm. As Christians, we should be thinking about, you know, redeemability of man. It's called the correction system, right?
Right, correction facility.
It's not a punishment system, and that, you know, and we'll be talking about this, but think about it. When a person, you know, steals something, even though they stole something, everything that they are is not a thief. That's one thing that they did. They're more than just a thief.
Yeah.
You know, when somebody even has killed someone, believe it or not, they're more than just a murderer. I mean, I think about King David, who killed, you know, a man's, a wife's husband, because she wanted,
Yeah. Think about Apostle Paul. I mean, he was sent out. He was ready to do it.
Right. But, you know, David was intentionally going to take this man out, and he did, you know, and Bathsheba's husband. Mm. And
that wasn't the sum total of who he was. It was an act.
Exactly. And it's so important to understand that, because when God confronted David over this and said, I was displeased with this, and he sent, you know, Nathan the prophet to him, he said to him, this is wrong. You're going to have consequences. You're going to serve some time, and some things are going to happen mm-hmm. to you, but you're not going to die, because the punishment of sin is death. The punishment of murdering is death. And so he says, I'm going to forgive you. And so God redeemed David in that particular point. And we got to begin to focus on if men are not redeemable, we're not redeemable. Hmm. And if our history, like Germany's history is, what they did to the church and what they did to Christians and Jews, they know that that's something they can't do. When we learn our history and the history of America as Christians, now not whatever the America as a country decides to do is one thing, but as us, as Christians, we should be saying we're for redemption. You know, we're for, you know, the injustices being stopped in our society, because this is what the sound that God is pleased to. He's mm-hmm. pleased whenever how we treat the lowest economic standing person in our society, how we treat the poorest people, how we treat people who can't afford an attorney, how we treat the people who had things going against them, you know, the most difficult struggles. How do we treat them?
Yeah.
This is how God looks at us.
Well, the book of James tells us exactly the same scenario. Yeah. We take care of the poor, we're going to take care of the rich, take care of them all.
Right, right. We're going to talk more about this when we get back from the break, because I believe acts of justice done with the right heart will please our Father with a form of worship that release this third great awakening. But we can't be unjust and think that a just God is not going to do anything but just come down on top of the country.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.